Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Time for the Friday gathering now. This week I'm joined by Green Party TD for Waterford, spokesperson on special social protection and member of the Public Accounts Committee, Mark O'Cahasy. We've Sinn Féin TD for Meath East and spokesperson on the Environment and Climate Action, Darren O'Rourke, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror, Louise Byrne, and political editor with the Irish Examiner, Elaine Loughlin. Thanks everybody for coming in. So listen, we'll start with the multi-part controversies swirling around Sinn Féin this week and addressed by Mary Lou MacDonald in The Dáil on Tuesday. I think she did two interviews as well, and more over the course of the week too. And Darren, I'll come to you first on this. I mean, there is a view that when you're explaining, you're losing, you know, and you're here no doubt to explain for what many people listening will be inexplicable, you know, some of the issues around what we've heard this week. You're in a very difficult position, a sticky wicket.
Well, I don't accept that the positions are inexplicable. I accept that, you know, this is not ground that we want to be on at any stage. We want to be holding the government to account, raising issues like health and housing, cost of living, childcare, and all the other myriad of issues that are facing this government and more importantly the people right across the state. These are issues that we are dealing with. I think Mary Lou MacDonald has come out and Michelle O'Neill in the North and has been forthright in outlining our response. I think there is a consistency in that response that when the party leadership became aware in each and every incident that they responded,
I think everybody understands, Darren, that events happen. You know, it's about how you respond to them. Let's take the Brian Stanley issue. So we're told that the complaint is made and then we're told by your party and your party leader that there's an independent inquiry carried out. Then in the next sentence we're told the person who led that inquiry is a barrister who's a member of Sinn Féin. Like, that is not an independent inquiry.
No, these are long-standing procedures that the party has. This is a department that sits within the office of the chairperson of the party. It's headed up by a practising barrister.
Who is a member of Sinn Féin. So you can't call that independent. Like, yeah. You just can't.
Well, on a practical level, the individuals who are dealing with the inquiry are also members of Sinn Féin, but they're senior members of Sinn Féin. Which, you know, I've sat on those panels myself. I've been that person.
Do you understand what I'm saying? That's fine if that's your procedure and you can present that as such, but you can't then tell people that's independent of the party because it's not.
But I have to say, you know, I've worked in the public sector, I've worked in the private sector, I've been involved in these procedures at various different levels, including as a union representative, a shop steward. I've sat on those panels. They're very similar in their way. And I have to say, I don't see that as an exceptional piece that they're, you know, this is a person who's a member of Sinn Féin. They're internal procedures. They're internal disciplinary procedures that I see in practically every organisation.
Okay, well, look,
I don't see that. Like, ultimately, that's a practicing barrister. You're taking their legal advice in relation to it. And in the case of Brian Stanley, he had independent legal advice in the form of a barrister and solicitor. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the measure of it, in my opinion.
Well, you have a member of your party now, you know, who has been there for 40 years, who feels he's been treated very unfairly. And we know about the fallout, not just for him, but for the party as a result.
Well, I don't accept that he's been treated unfairly, I have to say. And you know, I've known Brian for a long time. I think the procedures, as I said, that we have in our party are robust and they're fair. Whether you're, you know, a member for 40 years or a member for 4 weeks, they're fair. Whether you're a TD or newly into the party, and I think that's the measure of fairness in relation.
And
Brian Stanley has an opportunity himself if he wants to, you know, give details in relation to it and answer questions.
Okay, let's broaden this out now. Mark O'Cahasy, what do you think the outstanding questions are for Sinn Féin?
I'd go back, like, if you scroll back 10 days on this, I listened on another radio station. Mary Lou MacDonald gave an extensive interview on the Michael McMonagall issue. And I thought she dealt very well with it. And I thought to myself, oh, well, that's dealt with now. That's been explained. We've talked about processes. And all the time that she was sat in that studio, She was sitting on the Niall O'Donnelly information and she was sitting on the Brian Stanley information. So she gave this full, like, lengthy interview, must have been 20 minutes, and she talked through processes and all the rest of it and how we were turning the new leaf and there was going to be clarity and all the rest of it. The information about Niall O'Donnell had to be dragged out of her. Had to be dragged out of Sinn Féin. For ages we were told, oh, it's a senior Sinn Féin member. And then when you look at the process whereby, I was actually on a committee, I was on the Coiste Gaeilge with Niall, and when he stepped down through ill health, I was like, oh, that's terrible. I feel like an idiot now. Because that wasn't the reason that he stepped down from that committee. It wasn't the reason he stepped down from the Shannon. And this information had to be dragged out. I'm still clear as mud on the Brian Stanley situation. Again, so I had a good working relationship with Brian. I'm on the Public Accounts Committee. I don't know whether to send him a text or not. Because I don't know the nature of the complaint. I don't know whether he's been well treated, terribly treated, whether, you know, next time I meet him, I should shake his hand or cross over to the opposite side.
So you haven't texted him since last Saturday? You haven't done
well,
that?
Well, I don't know where I am with it.
But do you think so it's for Sinn Féin to make the details of that public? Do you think that it would be appropriate? In both cases, do you think?
I think the timeline around the referral to the Gardaí is very interesting and very convenient. To be quite honest, because suddenly this process that was ongoing for ages, suddenly it comes to a head with Brian saying that he's resigning as a member of Sinn Féin. And next thing we know, the complaint has gone to the Gardaí. So if anybody asks you, Darren, if we ask you on the material of the complaint today, you go, well, look, that's gone to the Gardaí.
But you,
I can't answer questions.
You're the
that.
Whip of your own party. You've dealt with disciplinary matters in relation to your own party.
I've made no referral to the Gardaí.
And have you talked about them publicly? Have you talked about the details of the complaints and how you manage them internally in your party?
As a whip, I've been dragged out into radio studios to talk about when we've had to take disciplinary matters.
And talked about the disciplinary pieces themselves.
But this is whataboutery.
This is a classic Sinn Féin move. If you're asking me, I've spelled it out.
So you're saying you can't talk about
the Brian Stanley issue, but you're saying he should talk about it.
Because, again, absolutely. Mary Lou McDonald went as far as she could in terms of setting out the broad parameters in terms of the complaint and the counter-complaint. It's for Brian Stanley and the complainant to present with the Gardaí.
You know what it looks like? It looks like Brian Stanley said, well, I'm resigning, I'm quitting. And Sinn Féin said, well, we're going to the guards with this.
Well, it may look like that, but I don't accept it. And I suppose what I might say in relation to this is, how are people suggesting that we might handle this? Because I heard, for example, in relation to the chair of the Public Accounts Committee, are people actually suggesting that an allegation is made in relation to Brian Stanley and that Sinn Féin make that public and remove him from the chair of the Public Accounts Committee without any due process in terms of, you know, his right to reply? I don't see that as a
reasonable position. anyone is suggesting that.
So what are they suggesting?
Well, what are you suggesting, Mark?
Well, what I'm saying is that I'm still absolutely unclear on the nature.
But it would be unfair to Brian Stanley for Sinn Féin to come out and say what the allegation
is. I have an issue about this being under investigation for however many months, Darren. It was under investigation. And it's only after Brian Stanley resigns from Sinn Féin that is referred to the Gardaí.
Which is entirely logical.
And then that is, even though Mary Lou made a statement under Dáil Privilege this week, there was no reference made to it. So I don't know the nature of it. And in a sense, I'm personally annoyed about it because, as I said, I had a good working relationship with Brian Stanley and I honest to God don't know what I'm going to do next time I see him in the corridors. But I don't know the nature of the complaint.
But I would say in relation to this, there's a certain exceptionalism here that seems to apply to Sinn Féin. Like what I would say, based on my experience in public and private sector, is these are standard practices. The reason this was referred to the Gardaí after Brian Stanley had left is because at that stage the process had collapsed. So at that stage you're making a decision.
There's nothing more that you could do with
exactly,
the process.
And during the process we had indicated to Brian that he could take the case to the Gardaí if he so required.
How do we square the circle between the kind of the glowing statement that was made when he stepped down Moriarty for health reasons and what actually transpired? I mean, as I said, just from a personal point of view, as somebody who's worked with both of these guys, that's something that I found very difficult to accept. That I was told one story, completely believed it, commiserated, kind of thought, oh, well, that's bad now. He was very, very capable guy on the Coiste Gaeilge, you know, made really valuable contributions and all the rest of it. And I just feel like that information was dragged out of Sinn Féin last week.
So I have to say, I don't accept that for a second. And I've heard this thing of a glowing reference. There was not a glowing reference for Niall O'Donnell.
It was really, wasn't it?
So I would tell you, a glowing reference for Niall O'Donnell would detail everything that he did in this party. Like, as Republicans, he represented the short strand. We were incredibly proud in relation to that. The first Lord Mayor of, the youngest Lord Mayor of Belfast. There's a series, I think Alison Morris writes about it today, about him being a star within Sinn Féin and holding a really important role for our party. What... None of that was detailed in the reference in the comments from Mary Lou MacDonald on his departure. In fact, if you look at that statement from Mary Lou MacDonald, in my opinion, in the context of being told that this person is in the middle of a mental health crisis, you have a decision to make in relation to how you handle it. And I think
and behaved inappropriately according to your own rules and assessment, and was asked to leave the party.
And if in my so the suggestion is that there's some sort of commendation here or cover up or concealment of what had actually happened. I don't see that as the case at all. In fact, what Mary Lou MacDonald does in that statement is closes the door on Niall O'Donnell, despite the fact that she's saying that he's leaving because of mental health issues. Okay. If people have mental health issues, they can of course return. So for that statement for me to be a glowing reference, it should have been full of compassion, of sympathy, of solidarity, and I don't see that.
It just could have also that statement been a simple two-sentence, Mr. O'Donnell has decided to stand down, we thank him for his service. It was far more elaborate. And
it wasn't. It was literally six
far
sentences.
More comprehensive.
Six sentences.
It could have literally been, we thank him for his service, one sentence, and it would have been very neutral. It was coming a few days before Christmas when, in fairness, journalists are pretty busy trying to tie things up. Politicians are very busy. I don't think anybody would have seen anything untoward or unusual about a two-sentence statement
After 8 years of contribution in the Shannon and years contribution in Belfast City Council, in a really important place for Republicans, for that to be a glowing...
He was leaving under a veil of controversy and scandal.
That is not a glowing reference. In my opinion, it is measured, it's considered from Mary Lou MacDonald. It is not a glowing reference by any reasonable
measure.
Can I
move on? Because I want to talk about what happens at the Public Accounts Committee, which is particularly interesting because we have a member of that committee here in Mark. But Louise, can I ask you, what is going to happen with the chairperson role? Because we heard during the week there would be objections from all parties and none, apart from Sinn Féin themselves, if they nominated another chair. Then Mairead Farrell was nominated. Did the whole thing simmer away at that point?
I think it depends on who you speak to. And I mean, Sinn Féin were very strong coming out yesterday saying, you know, the government parties and Labour and Social Democrats bottled this and they could have opposed to it more strongly at the meeting of the business committee and the meeting of the selection committee yesterday. Other people who were there, Fine Gael reps, Fianna Fáil reps, Social Democrats reps, Labour reps, there was a discussion about this and, you know, there was dissatisfaction raised and there was, you know, reservations raised about it. And I think it's important to say, I don't think it's personal against Mairead Farrell, and I think most people would accept that Mairead is a very competent politician. But their issue is about another Sinn Féin person being put into that Public Accounts Committee chairmanship while this controversy is ongoing and while there are still questions unanswered about the Brian Stanley situation and the manner in which it unfolded. I don't think it's necessarily fair of Sinn Féin to say that this went through without any argument. There was, I understand, a very touchy meeting yesterday from all sides kind of going in and arguing their point. And it will go to a vote next week. I think it will be interesting because I think initially it was kind of thought that Mairead Farrell would not be voted through as chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee. I think you've seen the Social Democrats come out saying that they're not going to stop it. They won't vote against it. It's Sinn Féin's right. So I think it'll be interesting over the weekend. Do you see people kind of softening their stance on this? Sinn Féin have said that they're going to keep putting Mairead Farrell forward until she is chairman or chairperson of the committee. So I think they will win this, but I don't necessarily think it's correct to say that it's gone through without a fight.
Mm-hmm. Mark, it was Sinn Féin's Páraic McLoughlin who said that you've bottled it because you haven't the nerve to block them putting Mairead Farrell forward. He said they bottled it today whenever the question was put. I don't believe they've the nerve to block Mairead Farrell next week.
Well, the first thing I'd say is that I'm on the Committee of Selection, which is a kind of an offshoot from the Business Committee as well. Those happen in camera and it usually stays there. what's said there. So I'm not particularly interested in divulging the kind of the contents of the debate that happened in that. And I'm not particularly pleased that PORIC has decided to make it public. My own position on this, and so I'm on the business committee as well as on the public accounts committee, is that I don't think we should be dragging this through the mud. In fairness to Sinn Féin, they had no other option but to replace Brian Stanley on the committee. And so I think it's Matt Carty is taking Brian Stanley's place on the committee. Mairead was already on the committee for the last, I think, 2 or 3 weeks. And then how you normally appoint a chair of a committee, it's actually a motion from the Houses of the Oireachtas. It's normally a motion that's taken without debate, normally not voted on. I think it'll be unwelcome if it's voted on next week, because the committee chairperson roles are, they're dealt out through the Hunt system, right? So they're proportionally assigned. It actually says in standing orders that it can't be a member of government that chairs a public accounts committee. And so this isn't anything to do with Brian Stanley. For me, it's not anything to do with Mairead Farrell. It's not anything to do with Sinn Féin. If we push this to a vote and we start appointing committee chairs through a majority of the Dáil, we'll have seriously undermined the committee system. So I don't propose. My hope is that it's going to go. The motion is going to go before the House next week. Normally, these are taken without debate. I don't think it's listed for debate on the Dáil schedule. I hope that people decide not to push it to a vote, because if we push it to a vote, we end up in kind of uncharted territory, really, and we create a precedent that I think isn't going to affect this Dáil. The 33rd Dáil only has weeks or months left to run.
Can it be fudged? Can you leave Catherine Murphy there until the end of this Dáil?
Well, that would have been my preference, and I was public about it. Catherine has been vice chair. She's been on the Public Accounts Committee for quite
and
a long time.
Why can't that
second
happen?
Time. Well, it's in train now. Sinn Féin have nominated.
So you're
a
pushing
new chair.
It, Darren.
The motion is down in front of the Dáil. We could have left it live for a number of weeks.
That we push it for the reasons, a number of them that Mark outlined there. There's, you know, there are important principles at play here in terms of how the committees operate. And you know, I sit on two committees. There's regularly been changes. We've had two changes in the chairperson of the Transport Committee during this Dáil term. Some of that related to a reshuffling at cabinet level.
For you, you're saying for the duration of this Dáil that Sinn Féin have the chairmanship of that committee.
It could be that.
Do you agree with Pádraig McLoughlin that the people who said they were opposed to Sinn Féin nominating that they bottled it?
Well, I think I never felt there was a sound basis for opposing this because of the reasons that have been outlined, because of the principle that in relation to it. And it's beyond.
But they said they were going to oppose it. Like, we had Ivana Bacic on here. She was very firm about it, that they were not going to support a new Sinn Féin chair. Did they bottle it?
Well, they did bottle it, of course. You know, they bottled it. They didn't follow through on it, but probably because they reflected on the implications of what they were saying. So, you know, you have a run at Brian Stanley, you've had a run at Sinn Féin, you've had a run at everything else that has gone on over the last week, and then you actually think this has potential significant implications for the business of how we run our parliament, how we run our committees.
So that's why
they can answer for themselves.
Darren wasn't.
They can answer for themselves.
I'm not going to share divulge the details in the meeting, but I wouldn't agree with the characterisation of anybody bottling anything. And by the way, I wouldn't have been part of the discussion. My opinion is the one that I've outlined, and I wouldn't have had any other. I wouldn't have had any different opinion to that in the context of the meeting. But I was there, and Darren wasn't. I wouldn't agree with anybody bottling anything.
Yeah, and I think Mark may not be, or maybe precluded from talking, but certainly I picked up on exactly the same as Louise has mentioned there, that there were very testy exchanges from Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour at that meeting, really opposing this, and in the end they did agree. But I think what we have here now, Claire, is deflection. Mary Lou MacDonald in the Dáil this week accused the government and other TDs of using what were really serious child protection issues as a political football. And I think probably the government would say, and opposition TDs as well, I think in this case would say, that the issues that were discussed in the Dáil this week were so grave and so serious that they merited discussion in the Dáil. But we've now moved on from that, and we definitely are in a political football match over PAC and who gets on, especially given the fact that Mairead Farrell, even if she gets through this Dáil vote, or whether there's a Dáil vote, whether it's not next week, she may not actually ever sit as chair of this committee, because the week after we have a Dáil recess, and after that
Yeah, well, Hugh O'Connell was saying earlier, you mightn't be back after the recess. That's the point.
Exactly.
Can I say on those serious matters that were discussed in the Dáil, and they were serious matters, the government, and we'll be familiar with this procedure, the government had 20 minutes to lead out on it. They used 16 minutes of the 20 minutes. They couldn't fill the 20 minutes. And of the 16 minutes they used...
Sometimes you don't have to use all your minutes to...
Well, I'll tell you, in my opinion, there's more than 20 minutes that you could fill with the issues in relation to child protection in this week of all weeks. Mm-hmm. And I worked in Drogheda, the terrible case there. In the hospital, Michael Shine, his victims are continuing to look for their rights to be vindicated. There's lots of issues, lots of improvement that need to be made in relation to child protection. For me, it's striking that the government, between them all collectively, can't fill 20 minutes, can fill 16 minutes, and six of those 16 minutes are a charge sheet against Sinn Féin.
I watched the whole thing, and there were really useful contributions made by the likes of Paul Murphy, the likes of the Labour Party leader, and others.
That's my point.
And it was useful from that point of view. We have touched on election speculation there. Louise, the date seems to have moved now because we were talking, I think last week, November 22nd, this week, 29th, maybe into December.
December doesn't suit me if there's anyone with any authority listening.
Stop everything. Louise won't be here.
Yeah, it doesn't suit me. No, I think we're looking at November 29th. And I thought the comments from Finance Minister Jack Chambers today were very interesting. He was down in Cork and he was saying the finance bill will go to committee on November 5th. And then thereafterwards, the sequencing and how that progresses any further is a matter for the coalition leaders. And I think that very much gives the indication that there perhaps may be a conversation. As Hugh was saying earlier when he was on with you, there may be a conversation on this by the leaders next week. You know, the Dáil is in recess the following week. There's actually been some suggestions to me that, you know, cabinet may sit, there may be things that need to get sorted, but it's kind of up in the air at the moment. I think we may be back briefly after the recess. A lot of people are kind of saying next week is the last week. I think we might be back briefly, but I think everyone's days are numbered, and I think we'll be watching people knocking on doors very shortly. I already had a canvasser. We had a canvasser last night. Yeah.
So the ire of the government might move from Sinn Féin, where the focus is now, to looking at each other, because their jobs will be to differentiate themselves, if you're in Fianna Fáil, from Fine Gael and from the Greens, and likewise for the other parties, right?
I think this is going to be fascinating. I mean, imagine the leaders' debates that, you know, so many people love tuning into. How are Micheál Martin and Simon Harris going to interact with each other during those debates? Are they going to be going down each other's throats, going, well, you didn't do this, and government, you know, they can't really. It's going to be very, very different to any kind of dynamic we've seen before. Probably will be picking on the Greens, and I think we've already seen that starting. I mean, it's kind of been a running undercurrent, I guess, if you like, for the last 4.5 years. But if you look back in and around the time of the local and European elections, there was very much, I would say, a concerted effort from the other two government parties to talk down the Greens. I think it got to a stage where a 1.21 Fianna Fáil European election candidate and a Green Party European election candidate were actually issuing press releases about each other, talking the other one down. And I mean, unfortunately, for Mark might not want to hear this, I think the Green Party are probably in danger going into this election, and I think it's very likely that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will grasp upon that.
We did get a flavour of it, didn't we, Mark, in the European and local elections, where there was an element of your partners in coalition turning on you.
What I can tell you is I'll be delighted if that's the debate, because I think the Green Party have been at the ideological centre of this government. When you look at what this government has achieved around emissions, around transport, around childcare, around universal basic income for artists, cost rental, you look back at any of the big ideas of this government. Mm-hmm. And people have this new energy, old wine and new bottles type of a manifesto happening. The things that happened in this government that were big and exciting ideas, those are Green Party ideas.
So if they want to come after us, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil,
if they want to come after us talking about cycle lanes, which is one of the things, or if they want to come after us talking about offshore wind, which was one of the spats, brilliant. Because I want to talk about investment in cycle lanes. I want to talk about investment in public transport. I want to talk about investment in offshore wind. So if that becomes the tenor of the debate in the next general election, brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Now, Darren, they're all going to turn on each other. You just have to sit back and watch.
Well, we're not in the business of sitting back and watching. We're eager for this election. We've wanted it for a long time. It cannot come soon enough. We can speculate in terms of the date, but in very many respects, the battlegrounds are clear. And those issues of health, housing, you know, and I deal with cases on a day-by-day basis. cost of living. There's, you know, a quarter of a million people in electricity and energy arrears. The cost of childcare, for example, access, as I said, to affordable housing, homelessness crisis. There's so much there.
You say you're looking forward to the election, but really, I mean, given what's happened over, in particular, the last week, it is difficult for you because voters mightn't remember the fine details of these stories that we've heard about. But what they will remember is that the party didn't discuss and reveal these details until they were forced to.
No, but I don't accept that, and we've outlined it. I think people do understand, and they've seen from Mary Lou MacDonald and Michelle O'Neill us being forthright in relation to it. I've argued the point in terms of a consistency in relation to it. But what people do know is that they're living struggling along, listening to the fact that we're such a wealthy country, and for very, very many people, I hear on the doors, and I'm already out, is that they wonder how we have so little to show for it in terms of infrastructure, in terms of services. Like, if you're waiting for, you know, if you have kids with disabilities, or if you have disabilities yourselves, Ireland is not a wealthy country.
Okay, listen, my time is up. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you all for coming in, and no doubt we'll see you again soon. Thank you at home for listening. I'm off to finish my candied jalapenos now, the condiment Claire gave me earlier. The programme was produced by Barbara Feedy. The series producers Niamh Lyons, research by Aby Philpin Bowman. Our broadcast coordinator is Jarlath Holland. Cara O'Hare was on sound today. The show will be back with you with Colm O'Mungon on Monday morning at 10 o'clock. Have a lovely weekend. Let's go over to Louise.